right, that's what our I'm going to hope to add some good thoughts to what has already been discussed and sung about and talked about this morning. I really appreciate all the thoughts that have been shared this morning to lead us in our worship toward God and our appreciation of Him. And that's really what this lesson is going to be about. When you talk about being walking worthy of God, which is a phrase that comes from 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, where Paul said, "We exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into His own kingdom and glory." As far as I can tell, there's only two other passages that use that phrase, walking worthy. Colossians 1 and verse 10 says, "So as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to Him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." And then Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 says, "I therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." So you think about walking worthy with God, and I think the immediate thought that comes, at least comes to my mind, is no way. There's just no way. And I'm thinking in terms of what my own worthiness. But I don't think that's what the passage is really talking about. I don't think the passage is trying to direct us to think about how worthy or unworthy we are. I think all three of these passages where it talks about walking worthy of the Lord is getting us to think about God and thinking about what He deserves. So walking worthy of the Lord should be bring to our minds the concept of, am I living a life that is offering to God what He deserves? Now, I don't know if that helps a whole lot, because when I think in those terms, then again, I'm back to no way. And that focuses on the greatness of God, though, and I think that's where He wants us to focus in this particular concept. He's not trying to get us to beat ourselves up in the sense of knowing that we're unworthy and that we can't possibly give God what He deserves. I don't think that's the idea there. The idea, though, is to direct our minds to think in terms of what does God deserve. And if we'll think that way, then we will live our lives more and more and more in a way that pleases Him, in a way that thinks about what He does deserve. And when we think that way in our lives, then we're thinking right. And the power of God is dwelling within us. The Spirit of God is working within us to bear fruit because we're thinking right. We're setting our minds on the things of the Spirit. We're learning about God and coming to know God more and more and recognizing just how worthy He is and how much He does deserve. And the more we think in those terms, the more power we have to walk in the way that God wants us to walk. We're going to be thinking, what does He deserve? So I thought that would be the focus of our lesson this morning. Instead of beating us up and telling us all how we don't walk worthy of the Lord, which I think we all know, and if we don't know, then we've got to work on that area. And maybe this lesson will help. If you don't realize just how unworthy you are, this lesson should help that, I would hope. And so I thought we'd focus in this morning in kind of a devotional type lesson this morning. And look at God first. And look at Psalm 139 first, when David extolled God in all of His infinite characteristics and said, "It's too wonderful for me. This knowledge is too high. I cannot attain to it." So I'd like you to turn to Psalm 139. You might have noticed this was up on the board during the announcements or right after the announcements. And it was a misprint up there, verses 1 through 18. I only put up there 1 through 6, but I would like to read with you this morning 1 through 18. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 18. I'm reading from the ESV version. "O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Where shall I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light about me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I would count them, they are more than the sand. I awake, and I am still with you. And then I'll skip down to verse 23. David concludes this psalm. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous or wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. There's this terrible battle going on in us of the flesh and the spirit. And I think David is expressing his awareness of this in the closing verses of that psalm. He wants to be with God. He wants to praise God. He wants to think about God all the time. It's too wonderful for him. It's amazing. He's praising. He's in awe of God. And then he recognizes there's a battle going on inside me. Search me, he says, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. And I think we all experience that on a daily basis. If we become more and more aware of that, and perhaps even more accepting of that, we can be like David, and we can lift up our eyes to God, and we can meditate and dwell on him and his greatness and his wonder, and then ask him to help us in the battle that we're experiencing here on this earth, the flesh and spirit. Someday we'll be away from this battle. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the righteous God will give to me, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. So that day is yet to come, and that's part of the message of the gospel of Christ, is to keep that in front of us and recognize that walking worthy of God in this life is not possible in the absolute sense, but it's something that we should strive for and something that we should think like. Am I giving God what he deserves? He's such an awesome God. He's a great God. I want to be with him someday, forever, in eternity, away from this battle. And so will I think that way now? Will I give God what he deserves? Think about our God for a moment with me. He is our maker. Psalm 95 and verse 6. Okay, you don't need to turn to these because I'm going to go through them fairly quickly with you for sake of time this morning. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. I don't always feel that way or think that way because I'm in the flesh. But my spirit wants to do that. To bow down and worship like we're able to do this morning. He's all powerful. Psalm 19, verses 1 through 4. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth and their words to the end of the world. The creation of God and the power that He's manifested in this creation, I don't always think about that. But I like to. My spirit likes to think about that and to praise God and be in awe of God. Revelation 19 and verse 6, I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude as the sound of many waters and as the sound of mighty thunderings, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord our God omnipotent reigns. Praise, honor, and glory to God. He is all wise. Romans 11 and verse 33, Paul virtually shouted out with praise and said, Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and His ways past finding out. And when I think about those things, I'm in awe of God, but I don't always think about them. I'm in the battle, and the flesh sometimes dominates, and sometimes it consumes the things of this life. And then you can get brought back to God and get brought back to His wisdom and His power and His nature. And you praise Him and you honor Him and you recognize how great He is. As David was already singing in Psalm 139, He's everywhere. Jeremiah chapter 23 says, where God speaks, He says, Am I a God near at hand, says the Lord? And not a God far off? Can anyone hide Himself in secret places so I shall not see Him, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? And we read verses like Acts 17, In Him we live and move and have our very being. It's too high. It's too wonderful. I cannot attain to this knowledge. This is how great our God is. But I don't always think about that. And I don't always act like that. I don't always act in a manner worthy of the calling with which I've been called and worthy of our Lord and God. David in Psalm 23 expressed in very emotional terms his closeness to God and God's closeness to him. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. He is all-loving. He is love. 1 John 4, verse 8 and verse 16. God is love. And when I think of hell in those terms, is the absence of love, the absence of light, a separation from God, an outer darkness, a weeping and gnashing of teeth because I'm separated from God. It's the absence of love. God is love. And when I boil it all down, that's what I want more than anything else. I just want love. I want my wife to love me. I want my children to love me. I want you. We all want the same thing. We want to be loved. And God is love. And we praise Him and exalt Him for His great love for us. He's holy too, though. He's holy, holy, holy. Like Isaiah, when he saw the throne scene and saw God on His throne and he saw the seraphim flying before God. In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah says, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, and above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, with two He covered His feet, with two He flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of Him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. And so I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And that's that awareness. That's that awareness of how unworthy we are. How am I going to walk in a manner worthy of God. Well, I'm going to think about God. And I'm going to try to understand Him and to come to know Him so that I can give Him what He deserves. Jesus said in John 17 that eternal life was to know God. Eternal life was to know God and to know His Son whom He sent. When you boil it down to those terms, that's what we're talking about. We're talking about coming to know God so that we then will walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we have been called. If we don't come to know God in all of His majesty and His greatness, in His holiness, in His purity, in His love, in His wisdom, if we don't come to know God, how in the world are we going to be driven in this flesh to walk in a manner worthy, to give God what He deserves? We don't do very well even when we know God very well. We don't give Him what He deserves. Deserves everything. He deserves our total 100% praise and honor and glory and worship for who He is. And He's faithful to us. Psalm 89, verses 1 and 2. I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. With my mouth I will make known Your faithfulness to all generations. For I have said, mercy shall be built up forever. Your faithfulness You shall establish in the very heavens. God is someone who can be trusted, counted on. He does what He says. I can believe Him. I can trust Him and obey Him in every command and know that this is what is best for me. And it's what He deserves. He is faithful, and so He deserves my trust. And He's so generous. I love what Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 9. He tries to bring us back to what we can relate to here. In verse 9 of Matthew 7, He says, what man is there among you who, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? And then He gives the golden rule. He says, therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. You know what the golden rule is based on? It's based on a knowledge of God. This is the way God is. He gives good gifts. He's generous. And so you, however you want people to treat you, you treat them. You want to be treated generously, kindly, with mercy, so you treat others that way. That's the whole basis of the golden rule. Knowing God. The more you come to know God, the more capable you are of becoming like Him in that way. And giving Him what He deserves, which is our obedience. And so, here's just one more thought. We could probably extend this list quite a much longer than I have, but here's one last thought. In Romans 11, verse 22, Paul talks about the goodness and the severity of God. He says, consider it. He says, consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. God's going to bless us and show mercy to us and provide goodness to us if we continue in His goodness. In other words, if we walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, if we give Him what He deserves, or at least think in those terms. Am I giving the Lord what He deserves? Am I living my life in a way that He deserves? I can't imagine any of us feeling very good right now. Honestly, I don't mean to do that. I just know that that's how I feel. I think that's good. I think it's good for you to feel that way. I think you should be thinking in terms of, am I giving God what He deserves? And when the answer is no, then you'll correct it. You'll try, you'll strive, you'll work, you'll have a heart. See, and that's what God is looking at. You'll have a heart that is trying to do better. But if you don't think in those terms, if you just go about your life living in the flesh, guess who wins the battle on that? The flesh always wins the battle unless the Spirit is dominant in your mind and in your heart and in your life. You set your mind on the things of the Spirit and you can put to death the deeds of the flesh, Paul said in Romans chapter 8. In Hebrews 12, verses 28 and 29, the writer of Hebrews says, "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." He makes no bones about this. This is who God is. He is holy, holy, holy. He is a consuming fire. He will punish sin. He will separate us from Him if we are found in sin. Let us serve Him acceptably with reverence and with fear. That, to me, speaks of the man, the woman, who says, "Am I giving God what He deserves? Am I walking in a manner worthy of the Lord? And if not, forgive me, Lord, and let me do better." It's like the man in Mark chapter 9. He said, "Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief." And that's the way we are. And that's the way we will always be while we're in the flesh because of the battle. So let us think right. Let us get our minds right about walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. Just look at the spiritual riches that we've been granted by God. In Ephesians 1 and verse 3, Paul says, "We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus." In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus said, "I came that they might have life and they might have it abundantly," with abundance. And so here's the kind of life God gives us when we set our mind on the things of the Spirit. Here's the kind of blessings we have. We have, first and foremost, payment for our sins, without which we are hopeless. 1 Peter 2 and verse 24. I have the wrong slide up here. I'm going to have to refer to my notes here. Or not the wrong slide, but the wrong scriptures on this. So let me get to my notes here. Boy, I'm glad I do this. I make sure I print out a copy. I always rely on this PowerPoint, but I always make sure to print out a copy so in case something happens. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed." 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. "For our sake he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." Don't you love the fact that every first day of the week we do what Bert described this morning? Because it's in the Bible. Because it's given by example. The early Christians met together on the first day of the week to break bread. They remembered the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection every first day of the week. And that's why Paul could give the command to take up a collection every first day of the week, because they were assembling every first day of the week to break bread. The primary reason for their assembling was to remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Men have kind of corrupted that down through the centuries, and they've made today the day that we remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. They call it Easter. No such concept in the New Testament. In the New Testament, the concept is every first day of the week, we remember the Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. Because that's how important it is. And that's how awesome it is. And that's our hope and our salvation. We've been blessed with the payment for our sins. And we have an eternal home awaiting us. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 16 through 18. I love this of all the passages on this. this and 1 Peter 1, I think, are my favorites. Paul says, therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day, for our light affliction. I always love that. Paul's been describing how much he's been suffering, and he says, our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And I love the fact that we're able to come together every first day of the week and think about that. Because sometimes I forget. And sometimes as the days go through and by and so on, I forget. This life is not all there is. This life is not what it's about. I shouldn't be so concerned or worried, or I shouldn't be coveting or desiring. You know, when you keep this thought in your mind that this world is not our home, that eternal glory awaits us, it helps us to be able to give God what He deserves, to walk in a manner worthy by counting our blessings, by looking at what He's given us. He's given us love that never ends. Love never ends. 1 Corinthians 13:8. Everything else is going to burn, but love never ends. And that's what I want. That's what I need. That's what you need. Our spirits need love. And God is love, and He gives us a love that never ends. And He's poured out that love into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. As we consider the Word of God and think about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and see that in that sacrifice, God demonstrated His love so that we should never doubt or question or wonder whether God loves us. Never. It's not that when I'm doubting or when I'm having difficulties with my faith, it's not because God doesn't love me. It's because I don't love God like I ought to. God loves me, and He will never, and He's proven that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I never need to doubt that ever in my life. He just wants me to love Him back. He wants me to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which I've been called. He's given me instruction in righteousness so that I can avoid the results of a life of sin. Oh, just think about where you would be without the instruction of God in your life. Think about it. Where were you? Some of us can look back at times in our lives where we were so far away from God and so caught up in sin and in this world that we are thankful that we escaped death during that time. And people today who don't know God and are not focused on God and are not following God's wisdom and His righteousness and learning from God, they get themselves into such difficulties. The Scriptures speak, I could have put 100 Scriptures up about this, but Proverbs 1, verses 7 through 9, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Psalms 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. Listening to God. Listening to God. Being instructed by God. Not men, but by God. Protects us in this life. And helps us to avoid the results of a life of sin. We have close fellowship of caring people. Romans chapter 12, verses 10 through 13. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Those are all things we enjoy as a family of God. I don't know what my life would be like without you guys. It'd be pretty lonely, I imagine. This is my family. And God made it that way. And God instructed us that way. And when we learn from God and see His wisdom in all of this, it's amazing. Faithful, loyal friends. Proverbs 18 and verse 24 says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Amen to that. A brother in Christ who sticks closer than a brother in the flesh. Amen. Because of the faithfulness that God has toward us, we learn about faithfulness to our fellow man. And we become like brothers. And we can trust one another. Not absolutely like we can trust God, but still, what a blessing. And then here's one. Opportunities to give and to serve. You know, this is the first thing I tell new Christians. You've got to pray about and meditate on and ask and inquire, how can I serve? Because you got to. You have to serve, not because it's a commandment, though it is, but because you need it. This is what it means to be a Christian, is to be a servant. Jesus is the ultimate servant. If you're not serving, then you're missing out on the blessings of this life and you're not giving God what He deserves. And Jesus said in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul quoted Him, "You know what the Lord said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." You want a happy life? Be a giver. Be a servant. Bless others. That's a blessing that God has granted us. God's wisdom to help in difficult times when we have trials and we don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do. And we worry. And we get anxious. And God says, "You ask me for wisdom and I will give it to you." But don't ask in doubting. Don't be unstable. Don't be like that double-minded man. You trust me, I will give you wisdom. I will get you through this. Huge blessing, because we encounter trials all the time. God's wisdom in building a home. Mercy. The homes all around us in society are crumbling. The homes are crumbling. Marriages are crumbling. Children are growing up with one parent, and that parent is away at work. Homes are crumbling because we're not following God's wisdom. Psalm 127 and verse 1 speaks to the wisdom of God in building a home, building a family, training our children, living with our wife according to knowledge. All of the things that we need to know in order to have a happy, fulfilling, loving, faithful home. God grants us that. Psalm 127, verse 1, "Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it." And that's what we see all around us. And we see the consequences of that. Just a few more. Peace that passes understanding. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Do you experience that? Do you have that peace that passes understanding? It's really based upon your trust in God, isn't it? Because when you deliver your cares to Him, the peace only comes when you trust Him to solve the problem. And that you trust His wisdom and you trust whatever answer He gives you. And finally, unspeakable joy is a blessing of this life. We have it in times like this, in times of worship and praise, in times in our closet with God. Unspeakable joy, songs in the night, David wrote. 1 Peter 1 and verse 8 speaks to the unspeakable joy. He says, "Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory." I love those moments. Don't you? Don't you love those moments? Isn't that what drives you out to gospel meetings? On a night when you'd rather be resting at home or spending time with your family, you go out to a gospel meeting like there's going to be over in South Jacksonville on the 26th of April. There's going to be a gospel meeting over there. I'm going to go. I'm going to go because I need to go. I want to go. I want this. I want all the times I can get where the saints are together singing with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And I want the preacher to stand up and I want him to pound the pulpit and I want him to believe and to be convicted and to be filled with joy and hope and faith. And I want to see that because I need it. Because it helps me to walk worthy of my God, to try to give him what he deserves. Psalm 42 and verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I want to be out of this flesh, and I want that spiritual body, and I want to be with God in eternity. In the meantime, I'm going to try to give God what he deserves. And if I can think like that, and you can think like that, then the Spirit of God will be producing fruit within us. And we will walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which we've been called. Now, I've got a lot of things up on this PowerPoint here that I was going to challenge you about, and I'm not going to do that. I wish I could. I mean, I could, but I don't think it would help. And I'll tell you why. These are some thoughts that I had about things that people fail in. That means they're not walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. But you know, I don't have to tell you. You have your areas. I have mine. I need to do better to give the Lord what he deserves in the areas of my life that I need to, I know. Now, if I didn't know, if I'm uneducated about the will of God, that's different. I could have brought some things to your attention possibly that you haven't thought about. But I doubt it. For the most of this audience, we know where we need to work harder to give God what he deserves because he deserves it. So what I hope I've done this morning is impacted your heart. Like I said, we have a devotional this morning. A devotional that seeks to fill our hearts with God and convict our souls that we're not what we ought to be and that we can give God what he deserves when we think in those terms. So if I've succeeded in accomplishing that goal, then that's enough. So I appreciate your good attention this morning.